sharing with you from the book of Revelation, chapter 1. A number of weeks ago, I was reading through the Bible, just about ready to complete it, come to Revelation chapter 1. And as I read this chapter, the Lord just brought new understanding to me concerning this. And I felt the Lord say in my heart, the next time you are able to preach, John, speak my word. I want you to expound upon Revelation chapter 1. It was near Valentine's. Matter of fact, it was on Valentine's Day that I was supposed to share from the pulpit at the Hillside Church of God in Prescott. But I became ill and was not able to do that. Pastor Don asked me here a few days ago if I would fill the pulpit for him while he and Suzanne are taking a sabbatical, a week's rest. I told him I would. I asked him, do you mind if I share from Revelation chapter 1? It is a message that burns deeply upon my heart. Originally, I entitled the message, Things Most Assuredly Believed. But then as I prepared the message, I thought how appropriate it is to entitle this, A Valentine from Jesus to His Church. And so happy belated Valentine's Day to you. Did you know that the book of Revelation, the entire book, is really a Valentine letter to His church? Let us pray. Our Father, there are many things about this book, the book of Revelation, that as your church, Lord, we just don't fully understand it. There are many things, Lord, within your word that has created much controversy within your church. Some things about this book have created anxiety within the hearts of your people. However, Father, there are also many things that we do understand, things that we most assuredly believe as your children. And one of those things is, Lord, that you love your church. Lord, as we focus our attention upon this chapter, the first chapter of this letter, we pray, Lord, that you would remind us of some of those things that are included within this truth. Jesus loves us and God is blessing us. That is your church, Lord, we can find courage. Courage to face the days that are ahead. Even as our brothers and sisters of days gone by, they have faced much the same things that we face. And yet because of your love for them, they experience courage to face whatever would come their way, to stand true to you, Lord. So, Lord, we pray, do it again today as we pray these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let me begin by reminding you that along with the Gospel of John, the first, second, and third epistles of John, the book of Revelation, was written by the Apostle John. John was called to be a follower of Jesus at a very young age. He could have been as young as 16 years of age. Now, as I look out at these children, I think, you know, it won't be long before some of these children are going to be 16. I know you moms and dads don't want to think about that, but it's coming. And I want to say to you, children, okay, just as Jesus called John at the age of perhaps 16, Jesus has a calling on your life. He is calling you, just as he said to John and James and Peter and Andrew, come, follow me. Jesus is saying to you young people, come, follow me. I want you to be my disciple. John was the brother of James, and he was chosen from among a great number of followers, perhaps hundreds. It is thought that, well, we know at least Jesus had 5,000 followers at one time. But among that great number, Jesus looked out and he chose 12 men and he called them apostles. They were included within an inner circle of Christ's followers. Young people, just as Jesus called John to be numbered among a special people, he is calling you to be special, special in your service to him. For 3 years, John was privileged to walk with Jesus, as Jesus, with great wisdom, taught the multitudes. And as he, with great power, did great miracles, healing the sick and raising even the dead, this small group of 12 men was privileged to see this great happening and hear these great words. I want to say to the young people this morning that Jesus desires to release in the hearts and minds of you young people great power to do great things. You believe that? If you believe it, say amen. Amen. You see, he is able. He is able, my brothers and sisters, to do great, wonderful things. He is able to make you what he desires you to be. He is able. John was shown special favor by Jesus, as he was chosen among the 12, from among the 12, he was chosen with Peter and James. Three of them were joined together in an inner circle with Jesus. They were chosen to be very special, in very special places, to be with Jesus in very special times, to hear special things. Jesus has a special ministry plan for you, young people. I love this verse, and I will say it to the young people. Young people, if you're able, say it with me. I know the plans. Can you say it? Say it with me, everybody. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God has a great future for you young people. Along with Peter and James, John was chosen by Jesus to go with him to a place called the Mountain of Transfiguration. And it was there on the mountain where James and John and Peter saw Jesus transformed. Some believe that what they saw was Jesus in his heavenly body. They saw him differently than the way they had seen him before. It was so glorious, my brothers and sisters, that Peter, James, and John, they said to Jesus, can we just stay here? Can we just camp here? Let us build some tents here for you. And by the way, there was Moses, that Old Testament leader. And there was Elijah, that Old Testament prophet. And Jesus was speaking with them. And Peter, James, and John was privileged to see this. And then Peter, James, and John was chosen to go with Jesus to a very special place, a place that we call Gethsemane. While the nine other apostles were asked to stay back, but Peter and James and John went a closer way with Jesus, where they saw Jesus kneel there at Gethsemane just before going to the cross. And they heard Jesus pray, "Father, if it's possible, please let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thine be done." And Peter and James and John heard this. And it's only because of that that we have an account of that today. We heard Jesus praying in this most desperate hour of his life. Brothers and sisters, children, Jesus wants to take you to some very special places to walk with him. According to the scripture, John found a very special place in the heart of Jesus. Perhaps maybe because of his age, maybe because he was so young, that Jesus referred to John. He was referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Today, the name John means beloved. John the beloved. Young people, I want to share with you again that Jesus loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. Wonderful plan. Well, time went on, and John was probably 80 years of old when he wrote this book, known as the Book of Revelation. He was a prisoner of the Roman government. He was held captive on an island called the Isle of Patmos. And he was there for preaching the word of God and for his testimony about Jesus Christ. John saw himself as a companion in suffering with Jesus. And not only with Jesus, but with the rest of the church. Even as he would look upon you and me, my brothers and sisters, as a companion in suffering. You know, so many times people are of the opinion, the church is of the opinion, that once I receive Christ as my Savior, I will not suffer. Life will be a piece of cake for me. But that's not the way it is. I have to be honest with you. Following Jesus does entail much suffering. Jesus said, if you did not belong to me, the world would love you. If you belong to the world, they would treat you kindly. But because you know me, because you treat me, or because you love me, the world is going to hate you. So there's suffering. There's suffering that is intertwined with serving Jesus. For John, he was brutally abused as a slave. He was made to work in the lead mines. Why? For being a follower of Jesus. For his testimony about Jesus. You see, he was privileged to see Jesus throughout his entire life, most of his life. But there was a price to pay, wasn't there? And that was suffering. It was on the Lord's day that John was worshiping the Lord, and the Lord appeared to John. You know, as we come to this place and we worship and we sing these songs and we pray and we worship the Lord, I trust your heart is in tune with the Lord today as you lift your voice in praise unto the Lord. The scripture tells us that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. He comes and he builds his tent right among us. You see, you could count all the people that are here in the sanctuary today. But if your heart is a heart of worship unto the Lord, you can add one more to our number because Jesus is in our midst. And that's the way it was when John was there on the Lord's day and he was worshiping the Lord. And all of a sudden, John received a vision of God. The vision was the things that must soon take place. The voice that John heard. Oh, it was such a loud voice. John said, it was like a loud trumpet blast. And the voice said, write these things that I show you upon a scroll. And receiving this great revelation, writing it upon a scroll, John wrote, blessed is the one who reads these words of prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it, and blessed are those who take heart what is written, because the time is near. Young people, listen to the word of God. Hear the word of God that he loves you and understand it. Understand it not just with your mind, but with your heart. And you will be blessed by God. You will be blessed. Well, the letter that John wrote was originally written to the seven churches of Asia Minor. You find them recorded in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. But it's widely accepted by the church of yesterday as well as the church today that this letter was written to the church of our day also. And so this is a personal letter from God, from Jesus, to you and to me. His Valentine to you. The message today is a message is firmly believed by the church. We read it. Grace and peace to you from who is, who was, and who is to come. And from the seven spirits before the throne, his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness. He is the firstborn from the dead. He is the ruler of kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sin by his blood and made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Valentine's Day. It wasn't so long ago, just a few days ago. But you know, on Valentine's Day, we share our love with those who are special to us, don't we? To those we love. And we express it in many different ways. We buy those that we love special gifts, candy. I love that box of candy. My wife gave me a box of candy. How we buy clothes for those that we love. We send them special cards that say, I love you. When I was a child in school, I can remember Valentine's Day. Our class, each child would take a shoebox and they would wrap it in paper, white tissue paper, and put red Valentine's hearts on, cut a hole in the top. And then we were encouraged to either buy Valentine's or make them ourselves and put a Valentine in each of the class members' little box. But I remember, oh, how I had a special girlfriend. It wasn't Pat, I hadn't known her yet. But I had this special girlfriend. And I made her this special Valentine. And I made sure I put it in her little Valentine box. And when I went to open my Valentine box, I just hoped. Oh, I looked through all the Valentines, just hoping that there was a special Valentine from that little girl that I love so much. You know, that's what we do on Valentine's Day. You know, we all have those special people in our lives. Special people that we have a special love for. And we go out of our way to make sure that they know we love them. You know, some people have gone so far as to rent airplanes and to hire pilots to go into the air and write it across the sky, I love you. Some have rented billboards of the most conspicuous places and placed the name of the one they love, call them by name. I would say, Pat, I love you. Have you in some special way told those that you love just how much you love them? And not just on Valentine's Day, but every day of the year, say to that one, I love you. One day, a man come to Jesus. Actually, he come to test Jesus. And he said, Jesus, tell me, of all the Ten Commandments, what is the greatest of the commandments? And Jesus looked at him and said, the first and great commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. That is the first in the great commandment. Now, the second is like unto it, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Today, I want to tell you, as it was first told to us through God's word, Jesus loves you. He loves you. As an act of God's grace and as a free gift to all who will receive that gift. As Sister Tria shared with these youngsters and with us also, God allowed his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die a very painful, torturous death on Calvary's cross. Why did he do that? He did that to pay our sin debt in full. The Bible tells us, my brothers and sisters, as painful as it may seem to us, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned and we have made God very unhappy. And the penalty of that sin is death. That's bad news. The good news is this. While we were yet sinners, God loved us so much that he was willing to allow his one and only son to take our penalty upon himself, to be put to death in our place, that we might live and live forever. God did this to reverse the painful result of our personal sin. You see, our personal sin, it separated us from God. God is so holy, he cannot look upon sin. He closes his eyes to sin. He can't look upon it. It's too painful for him. And so that separated us from God. But it's through our faith in Jesus Christ and his death on that old rugged cross that God brought us back into fellowship with him, where he can look upon us now and smile and say, I love you. And knowing this, this in turn produces within all who will receive his love, it produces within us an inner peace, regardless to how bad things may seem, regardless to how other people may treat us. We can find peace within that God loves us, that Jesus loves us, and that even in the midst of the greatest and darkest times, we can be assured that all is well. We can sing, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Now unto those that who love God, to those who love Jesus. If you love him, you will trust him. Do you know that faith and love and trust go together like a horse and carriage? Yes. You see, you can't say, I love God, I love Jesus, and not trust him. If you trust him, you'll love him. If you don't trust him, Jesus says, you don't trust me. Unto those that love God, enough to trust him, enough to obey his commands, Jesus said, you are my friend. And I will be your friend, and I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. If you keep my commandments, you are my friend. And I will tell you the secret things that God has shared with me. He doesn't share them with anybody else, but just his friends. And by the person of his Holy Spirit, he will come and he will live with us. But not only will he just live with us, not only will he walk alongside of us, but he will come and dwell within our hearts. He will dwell within us. And he will be our counselor. That is, when we stand in need of direction and we don't know what to do, we don't know what to say, we don't know how to do it, the Lord will give us direction. He will counsel us. When our hearts are broken and torn and we don't know what's going on, the Lord will sit down with us and he will counsel us and he will comfort us. He will comfort us. In those most desperate hours of our life, he will hear your prayers. He will listen to your prayers. He will listen to your cry as you cry out, oh God. He will hear. And because he hears us, because he's moved with such compassion, we are told, my brothers, sisters, John wrote it in 1 John, we have this confidence about us that whatever we pray according to his will, he listens to us. And if he listens to us, we will receive what we ask of him. He is able, my brothers and sisters. You say, how is he going to do it? I don't know. But he knows, and he is able. This one who loves you so much, this one who has given so much to you and me, he also gives us a personal invitation to come personally before him, to come into his kingdom. His kingdom is wherever he reigns. His kingdom is within you. Someone asked Jesus, well, where is his kingdom? And Jesus said, his kingdom is within. You see, whoever makes Jesus the king of their life, there is his kingdom. And he will make you a priest. That word priest, you have to go back into the Old Testament and understand the role of the priest. You see, the priest had two privileges. One, he would hear from the people, and then he would go into the very presence of God, and he would share with God what the people were laying on him. He had a privilege of talking to God, and God would talk to him. And then he had the responsibility to go to the people and share with the people what God was saying. The people said, tell God not to speak to us personally. Let him speak to you, Moses. And then you come and tell us what he wants us to do. You see, we have a privilege, my brothers and sisters, of bringing not only our petitions, but the petitions of the world. Those who would never think about coming before God. We can come before God in their behalf and petition God. But then also we have a responsibility, and that is to go out from that place, go out from here, and share with those that would never darken the door of the church, and share with them the Word of God. As priests of the living God, we have this invitation: come boldly before the throne of grace, that you might obtain mercy to help in time of need. Jesus said, you teach others what I have taught you. Teach them to obey, and I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you to the very end of the age. As long as you have breath in your body, you can be sure I will be with you. Now, this one who loves us so much, this one that we love with all of our heart, with all of our mind and strength, he's going to come back again, brothers and sisters. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He's going to come back again. Even as he was seen by a multitude of believers as he ascended into heaven, he's going to come again. Receive us unto himself, that where he is, we will be also. You see, after Jesus was crucified and laid in the grave for 3 days, God the Father raised him from that grave. And for 40 days, he walked upon the earth, and he was seen by as many as 500 witnesses. He spoke with his disciples, his followers. He ate with them. They touched him. And then there was probably 120 gathered together. And all of a sudden, Jesus began to ascend into heaven. And all of those that were there, their mouth was hanging open, and they were gasping. And an angel appeared and said, men, brethren, why are you standing here so aghast, so surprised? Don't you know that this same Jesus who you see going into heaven, he's going to come again in like manner. He's coming again. Before going to the cross, Jesus told those that love him, he told those that were looking forward to his sure return, he said, I'm going a way to prepare a place for you. And as sure as I go away, you can be sure that I'm going to return again. And I'm going to receive you unto myself. That where I am, he said, you will be also. A great assuring word here. And I've shared it with many who were ready to make that transition from earth to eternity. Some were frightened. And I would say unto them, no need to be frightened. You're not going to make that journey alone. Jesus is going to come again. And he's going to receive you. And he's going to usher you into his presence. Paul tells us, even as Jesus did, just as Jesus resurrected from the dead, a loud trumpet will sound, and Jesus will return for all of those who believe in him, to those who look forward to his coming, even those who are now asleep, to those who we would say have died, those who are asleep in the Lord, they will rise first. And after them, we will all be joined together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we shall be ever with the Lord. When people think on that, they say, how can that happen? I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. He is able, more than able, to make you what he wants you to be. Writing unto the church at Corinth, Paul assures us that we won't have this physical body. As you see me, my body's quite a bit older than what it used to be. And physically, I'm not the man I used to be. But that's okay. Because you see, I'm going to have a new body. Not going to be like this body. I can look out at some of you folks and you're feeble and you have aches and pains. But let me share some good news with you, my brothers and sisters. In heaven for all eternity, you're not going to have that body. You're going to have a new body. John describes that body as glorious as the body Jesus has. Without spot, without blemish. Shining with brilliance as bright as the sun. And heaven is that dwelling place where God is. People say, where is heaven? I don't know, but I know one thing. It's wherever God is. That's heaven. It's where Jesus is. And according to God's word and the vision that John received, it's as beautiful as pure gold. Streets of gold. The gates, the doors will be arrayed with precious jewels and gems. Most glorious, there won't be any more sorrow or sadness or pain. And the reason why is because, you see, sin will not enter there. The cause for the pain and the suffering and the sickness and sorrow that we experience today is because we live in a world that is fallen. It's a world of sin. But brothers and sisters, we will enter into a place with God, and no sin will enter there. And you know, there will be an abundant supply. We will never want for anything. Our every need, our every want will be met there in heaven. People say, what's it going to be like? I don't know. But I can tell you this one thing. There will be no pain, sorrow, suffering, none. It will be glorious. We won't have any wants. There won't be any hungry children. There won't be any homeless people. God will provide everything. Well, as for now, my brothers and sisters, today is a day of preparation. For you see, in that day when Jesus comes for his bride, And that's what he calls his church, his bride. Oh, I've officiated many, many weddings, and I've stood in places like this. And when I see that bride come down the aisle, I think, wow. And I look at that groom, and I say, you sure are blessed. What a beautiful sight. And that's how Jesus sees you and me, as his bride. When he comes for his bride, there's going to be a day of great judgment, my brothers and sisters. John tells us in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 that everyone who has ever lived, everyone who has ever drawn a breath, even the most sinful, they will be resurrected from the grave. Even those that pierced Jesus, even those that nailed him to the cross, they will be there. You see, some people think, well, I'll die and I'll escape the judgment, but death is no escape to the judgment. Brothers and sisters, those that pierced him, those that sin, those that refuse to look to Jesus as their personal Savior, they will cry out for the rocks to crush them. They will cry out for mercy, but there will be no mercy. Why? Because, you see, they had a life to live. And that life was a time given to them to prepare themselves to meet Jesus in the judgment. But they wasted that time. They fooled it away. And when Jesus comes again, and we don't know when, but they won't be prepared. In that day when Jesus comes again, everyone who has ever lived will be divided into two groups of people. There will be the foolish people, those who did not use their life wisely to prepare themselves for the coming of Jesus. And Jesus will say to them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. But then there will be those that love Jesus and received his love and served him and obeyed him. They were a friend to him and he was a friend to them. They served him. And Jesus will say to them, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Happy belated Valentine's to you from Jesus. Here is a point to ponder. Jesus loves me, and God desires to bless me. Here's a question to which I must give serious consideration. Have I received the love of Jesus as he has demonstrated it for me? And have I returned my love to him by seeking to please him through the life that I live daily? Here are some scripture verses that I must remember, and I challenge you to remember them also. If you love me, and this is Jesus speaking, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him, nor do they know him. But you know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. He said, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me. And we are in the Father, and the Father is in me. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him, and we will make our home with him. He who does not love me, he will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own, Jesus said, but they belong to the Father who sent me. I challenge you with a covenant that I make daily, and I ask you to also. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. The invitation today is that you share your commitment of surrender to the Lord, and that you do it as we partake of the elements of communion. We're going to receive communion this morning, and in doing this, I ask you to let this signify your testimony as I take the cup, as I eat the bread. I testify, Lord, this is my symbol of dedication to you. I surrender all. We come publicly and do that. And the reason why is because everyone Jesus has ever called, he called them out publicly. I'm not ashamed to say to the world, I belong to Jesus and I am surrendered to him. Before we come, I want to share one more scripture with you. One thing about being here, I can't see that clock, so I don't know what time it is. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Brethren,